The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org or www.streamglobedevotional.org.
Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask that you do what you are proposed to do. The Lord showed me a vision. I'm not going to share the vision, but that vision is an indication of what he wants to do through this meeting. I want us to pray that, Lord, let it be accomplished. Everything, every single thing that you are proposed to do, according to your predetermined counsel concerning this meeting, everything you have determined to do in this meeting today, let no one be hindered. Let us not miss out of anyone. In the name of Jesus, everything you have determined to do, everything you have determined to do, every gift you have determined to deposit, in the name of Jesus, lekabo selene banin katalales, mashote kales enebanes. We come against every spirit that hinders the understanding of God's word, and we decree that everyone that will receive will understand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Alright. There is a lesson that the Holy Spirit was reminding me of this morning. We can sit down. There was something that the Holy Spirit was teaching me. As Bro Yemi was teaching. No, I think just before Bro Yemi started teaching, he was reminding me of something. And I want to reiterate it. You see, as you continue to walk with God, as you walk with the Lord, you will discover that there are some things that you want him to do for you. And they can fall into what I will call the category of open doors. What is the difference between asking and receiving and knocking and the door is open? For example, I may need 700,000 naira now. Actually, we need like 750,000 naira now to buy a new laptop for Stream Globe. And we're already raising some money. Now, I may say, Lord, I want to be able to give that money from my pocket. And I ask God for the money, for the supply. And then God just arranges one or two things, and then I'm not talking about the ministry, I get 750,000 naira for that laptop. Some of you are wondering, what kind of laptop did they want to buy for 750,000? It's a machine. I think I showed you. It's a work system. Now, and then God, maybe one uncle in UK just shows up and give you a job to do. At the end of the day, he pays you 300 or whatever. God just arranges. At the end of the day, you get that money. That's asking and receiving. Amen. I still remember there was a time I wanted to go for a conference in Lagos, and I could have been going and coming back here, but I knew I had to stay in the hotel, and that environment is an expensive. The cheapest hotel I saw was 13,000 per night, 13,000 naira per night, and that was the cheapest hotel. And I said, ha, now wow. Okay. So I prayed. Now that's not supposed to be a big deal. It's just that there have been so many expenses and all of that. So I prayed. I said, Father, please, you know this conference is good. I'm supposed to go to this conference for this reason. It was my father and the Lord that was organizing the conference. It was a very important conference to him. It would be good for him to see me there. But if I go, where will I stay? Now there are some times that you're asking God for money. And what God will give you as an answer is wisdom. What I mean is that sometimes what you need, what you think you need is not what you need. Anyway, so I was asking and God said, and just I think the next day, somebody called me and just wanted me to do a website for him. And he wanted the website within 24 hours. And that was how I got that money. I got more than enough for the conference. So that is asking and receiving. But what is the difference? I'm not going to talk about seeking and finding, but there's a principle that the Holy Spirit taught me. I just want to drop it. Then we'll go into what we have today, because we have a lot. Now, what is the difference between asking and receiving and knocking and the door is opened unto you? You see, whenever a door has been opened unto you in the realm of the spirit, it is not just that something is falling from heaven, that manna is falling from heaven. It is that there is a consistent flow. So instead of me to get to a point whereby whenever I need 100,000, I go and ask, whenever I need 50,000, I go and ask, urgent 50K. God if it is a door that is open, He will put me in such a realm that at any point I need 300,000, I have the money because it's a continuous flow of resources. Do you understand? So, but one of the things about the principle of receiving, which is a fundamental principle of receiving from God, is asking. But don't limit your walk with God to asking and receiving. Because if it's only asking and receiving that you understand, you don't understand the principle of knocking, you will never have open doors. You will only have rainy day miracles. For example, the people of Israel, they will get to a wilderness and there will be no water. And Moses will pray and water will come from the rock. Isn't that wonderful? It's beautiful. Pure miracle. Moses will pray, and then manna started falling. If that manna falling, that's beautiful, right? But is it not better for them to be in a place whereby they will never have to be praying for water? There's always water. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What's the principle of open doors? It's a principle of consistency. Now, I remember when we started this meeting, and people were not showing up. I'm going to explain the reason why we are not so many today. Because it was something that the Holy Spirit reminded me. And then people were not showing up. And I went to pray. I said, Father. Now, I know how to... I understand the technology that's of gathering people. That's if you really want to gather people. I've been in church ministry for some time. I know things. For example, you cannot say you want to gather people and you don't have good music and good musical instruments. Do you understand? That's one. And there are other things that you would... Another thing you want to gather people, when you can gather a number of people, for those of you who understand the anointing, it is easier for the anointing to move when there are many people, especially baby Christians. Yes. I hold Yemi... Sorry, let me do an example. I stand up now. There's a measure of anointing in my hand now. There are some people that if I hold like this, they will fall. Just this that I'm doing. Because I know what I'm saying. There are some people that if I hold like this, they will fall. Especially ladies. And I will explain to you why ladies fall more than men. It's the reason why ladies easily enter witchcraft more than men. It's the same reason why the serpent went to meet Eve, not Adam. It's because their spirits are more open than men. A man will be looking at you, what is this guy up to? He will be calculating everything. Praise the Lord. Now, I was asking the Holy Spirit, say, I know the kind of ministry that you have told us to do. It's a teaching ministry. And then the Lord said, we should start praying for every meeting. We should start having prayer meetings for every meeting. And the season we started obeying that instruction, we started having meetings where this, in fact, there was a time before the lockdown, I was telling my brother, I said, it is clear that this place is no longer sufficient for us. But what was the instruction? Have prayer meetings before every meeting. That is, so we're praying on Fridays. Recently, some things happened. We've not been able to be praying on Fridays. And when it's literally affecting our attendance, there are many people that want to be here now, and they are not here. The Holy Spirit reminded me that, did I not give you an instruction? That is the key for people coming to this meeting. You see, people coming for the meeting that way is an open door. Because what is an open door in ministry? An open door in ministry is being able to reach more people. Amen. Paul said, a great and effectual door has been opened to me. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that there was an opportunity for him to reach the people in Ephesus. There was a platform. There was an opening. And that is even the real definition of open doors. He said, I've said before, you're an open door. Open door can also be applied to other areas, like the example, like finances and all of that. But what I'm saying is that in order for you to access open doors, there are usually covenant practices and principles. Do you want to walk in the anointing? I'm not talking about the anointing, the rainy day anointing that you don't know whether the anointing will come. There is a way you enter a covenant, I don't know, call it entering a covenant with God, whereby God will give you certain principles, certain devotions, certain disciplines, that as long as you continue in those disciplines, the anointing will continue to flow. For Samson, it was that he shouldn't cut his hair. For John the Baptist, it was that he should never drink wine. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. Because you need to understand how to receive from God. There are different receiving open doors. So there are some people in business, they do some things, and it's not only in light that these things happen, no, even in darkness. There are some, because that's the way spirits operate. There are some things one of my teachers call it the priestly corner of life. There are some things that you do. That is the reason why the people of Israel keep the Sabbath. That's the reason why they pay tithes. There are principles. Do you notice that God said that if you pay your tithes and your offerings in the book of Malachi, that he will open the windows of heaven? That's how spiritual, you must understand exactly what you are keen into when you are doing some spiritual practices. Praise the Lord. So for some people, so if you attend a church that pays tithes, by all means you should pay tithes. If for no other reason, because that's what they do in your church. Because if you are disobeying that instruction, you are a rebellious Christian. And just in case it is that in your own church, they don't use jewelry. You shouldn't use jewelry. The question is not whether using jewelry is right or wrong, whether the scripture says men should not be wearing jewelry. The question is your own church, the testimony. What's the difference between the testimony and the law? The testimony of God are customized instructions for you or for a group of people. The Rachabites, how many of us remember the Rachabites in the book of Jeremiah? Their own instruction was that they were never supposed to live in built houses. For them, disobeying that instruction was rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. So if you just happen to attend a church, for example, most churches in Nigeria pay tithes. Many churches in Europe, they don't pay. But they give. They give a lot. Many of them give more than their 10%. Now, if you happen to attend a church whereby they pay tithe, please go beyond the religion of tithing. And try and connect with the covenant behind it. Because there is a covenant. Let me tell you one thing about spiritual things. We are not in the old covenant, we are in the new covenant. But there are covenant practices that are not about whether it is old covenant or new covenant. And you must learn to connect to those covenants. Even today, if you connect to those covenant practices, as long as they are not the things that Jesus has already done. For example, if you are doing animal sacrifice today, and you say you are doing Passover, you are in transgression. Elemental spirits will rule your life. That's not me. That's Paul. See, when you go back to those things, you bring yourself under elemental spirits. Some of the most dangerous kinds of spirits that are out there, the most stubborn spirits are elemental spirits. They work with the elements. And the condition of elemental spirits is that, let's say it's a water elemental. The condition is that as long as he drinks water, I have power over him. As long as he breathes air. Except he will not breathe air. The only, what can bring you, if you are in Christ, amen. This is not what I planned. The Holy Spirit help me. If you are in Christ, let me see if I can show you that scripture. Who was I sharing that scripture with last week? I was teaching somebody. Because what makes you dead to elemental spirits? See, have you noticed that there are some times that everybody feels like doing protest? Then all of a sudden, nobody wants to do protest again. Everybody is tired. You don't know that there are sometimes when people, they want to control people, one of the most potent ways of controlling people is to use elemental spirits. And the only way you can be dead to elemental spirits, let me show you in Colossians. The only way you can be dead to elemental spirits is if you are abiding in Christ. And what does it mean to abide in Christ? Abiding in Christ does not just simply mean that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. If not, Jesus will not be telling people that have believed, that abide in me. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So, the church is the body of Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, Colossians 2:20, he says, if you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits of this world, why do you submit to them as though you lived in the world? If you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits. In James, Jesus, we say the elements of this world is the same thing. The elements on their own don't have the ability to control you. He says, if you have died with Christ, if you are in Christ and you have died with Christ, water spirits don't have power over you. Praise the Lord. So what I was just teaching you is that in order for us to access open doors, we must understand this principle of knocking. If you hear this on your door, you will not think it's a knock. In order for you to think it's a knock, it must be like this. Or it must be at least two for you to think it's a knock. If you hear a single blow on your door, you won't think it's a knock. One principle about knocking, Jesus Christ took his time to teach his disciples about that, is consistency. Consistency. So God will give you covenant practices that if you continue in them, that door, you will continue to access the bounties of that open door. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. But I want to do our topic for today, the topic the Lord gave us. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John. And we're starting from chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Holy Spirit, we ask that you shine light. We ask that you destroy things that you have not planted. And we ask that you plant in us the seed of life, making us strong. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. I also want someone to read verse 1 to verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled it, concerning the word of life. Go ahead, sir. Praise the Lord. Now, last week, if you remember what we studied last week, we looked at Mount Zion, and we looked at what you find in Mount Zion. The Bible says we have come to Mount Zion. We believers, when we come together like this, we don't just come physically. Our spirits should ascend somewhere. And that somewhere is referred to as Mount Zion. So the Bible, for example, we say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That gate, the gate of where? Mount Zion. So when we come together, that's why it's called that whenever Christians come together, it is common practice and good practice for us to begin to give thanks. Then he say, enter into his courts with praise. So as Borosimi was leading us in opening prayer, he may just feel it's normal, but I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit that led him or it was just good sound understanding of Christian and worship conduct. He started by singing praises. He started by singing praises and worship to God, because that is how we ascend. And then we saw last week that in Mount Zion, there is deliverance. Amen? And we saw that there is deliverance before there is holiness. People who are not delivered cannot be holy. Because demons are more powerful than people, than flesh, than an ordinary human being. So a demon can make a man to continually do things that he does not want to do, even though he is born again. And so one of the things that are available in Mount Zion is deliverance. So whenever we come together like this, one of the bounties that we access from God's presence, that we should be able to access naturally, is deliverance. You know, Jesus Christ said that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Jesus Christ dwells in our midst through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty means that there is, you have been delivered. There is no more bondage. So that is one of the things that is attainable in Mount Zion. Another thing we saw again is holiness. We saw holiness. When people begin to understand and walk in holiness, you see, one of the places that God can convict you the most about, to bring you to a high, a deeper level of consecration, is in a place like this. Because I was trying to explain that holiness is a journey. If you do not have a track record of consecration, whereby you got to a point and Jesus Christ told you that, do you realize that you lie? And then you realized for the first time that actually you still lie. And then you repented. You are getting to a deeper level of holiness, and then you have more spiritual authority and you can access more spiritual power. Amen. And then we went on to see, to say that when people are not holy, they cannot, when you see believers that don't have spiritual authority, because I'm not talking about power, I'm talking about authority here. Let me talk about authority just briefly, because there is a difference between authority and power. Power is the ability to do work. Authority is spiritual jurisdiction. You can have a lot of spiritual power, but you may not have authority to do certain things. It's beyond your level. Let me give an example. The police has a lot of power. They can do a lot of things in this country. They can arrest anybody. You understand? And all of that. But the police, they don't have the authority to determine who the next governor will be. They don't have the authority to remove a governor. You cannot sit down, we cannot sit down here now and say we don't like the governor. You know, we can sit down here and say we don't like a person. Maybe the person has really, really offended us. We go and report to the police. Police will go and arrest the person. We cannot sit, between us and the police, we cannot just sit down here and remove a governor. But there are people that have the authority to do that. They are called the House of Assembly. They can sit down like this, form a quorum and say, we don't want this governor, and they'll get him removed. Now he will be removed. Are you understanding the difference between authority and power? There are so many Christians. If you find a Christian that still lies, he lost, his heart is still full of lust. He's still covetous or greedy or worldly. He still has a very, very worldly outlook to life. But he prays much because he has the wisdom of praying much. He will have a lot of power. But his authority will be little. So there are a lot of things that he will still not be able to handle. For example, such people don't have the spiritual clearance to handle principalities. Some may even be able to handle some small, small principalities, but they cannot handle the rulers of the darkness of this world. Because demons are in levels. And so just in case the demons that are responsible for a person's problem is principalities, you bring it there because they will declare 7 days dry fasting and they will pray, the person will be delivered. But when it happens to be a ruler of the darkness of this world, even if they lie, let them fast till they die, that problem will not be solved. The difference is, and whereas somebody that has authority in a few minutes will just like, come out in Jesus' name and the demon will go. But I am telling you that the way you access authority, amen, the more like God you are, because the more holy you are, the more like God you will be. And the more like God you are, the more you can access. You actually have unlimited access to his authority, but you cannot appropriate it without holiness. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, remember that one-way drama? You know one reason why I don't follow one way? As much as it lies within my power. It's because I try to train myself in these small, small things of obeying instructions and obeying the law. So that when big things come, I will be able to align. Because the truth is that my spiritual authority is directly proportional to my holiness. I talked about this revision is becoming too long. It says, and there shall be holiness and the house of Jacob. That's now in the New Testament context, it's talking about us, the people of God, shall possess their possession. And I talked about that those possessions are not just cars and houses. That those possessions are deep things in the spirit. Exceeding greatness of his power. The riches of the inheritance of the saints. Things that money cannot afford. And things that can afford, that can bring money easily. Authority and power. And the only way you can possess it is after you have cleared the check mark of holiness. Praise the Lord. Now we looked at 1 John chapter 1. And I want to just make some points here. Because I want to introduce us to the other aspect of this, Mount Zion. Because you are not only supposed to assess Mount Zion, the presence of God, when we come together. You are supposed to dwell there. So even when you are in your house, amen, your spirit is in connection with God. You are seated with Christ. The Bible says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Try not to be distracted. The biggest distraction right now is sleep. I understand that there was no light. And that means sleep last night wasn't very easy. And now there is fun. So it will be easy for sleep to come right now. But you see, sleep right now is an enemy. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's an adversary. It will not prosper in Jesus' name. Now, he says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Tell your neighbor the word of life. The word of life. You see, there is only one. What does the word of life mean? This is the word that has the ability to give life. The word that has the ability to give life. It says, for the life was made manifest and we have seen it. This kind of life, you can see it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. There is a quality of life that God has. And when you become born again, you are supposed to, because you are now born again, the Bible says as many as believe in him, God gave them power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on this name, it says, that they may not perish, John chapter 3 verse 16, but have eternal life. Eternal life is the only escape route for man to not perish. Because everybody, because of the fall, has been sentenced to perishing. Praise the Lord. So this life, now, so there is a word that is a transport system of eternal life. And that's what he's talking about here. Do you remember when Jesus Christ started talking deep things and everybody started leaving him? And they just turned to his disciples and said, you people, will you not go too? But Jesus was somebody, Jesus was just, he has to be God. His character was something else. I mean, he turned to his disciples and said, are you people not going to? And they say, to where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. They are words so, but those words transmit eternal life. You know, the electricity that is making this fan to roll is being transmitted by wire. The way God transmits eternal life from heaven to you, to your heart, and to my heart, is through words. John is referring to it here as the word of life. You see, that is one thing that you cannot see. You can fake anything. Miracles can be faked. There are people that go and collect power from strange places and do strange miracles. They will say, hey, he's a man of God. He prophesied and it came to pass. You can fake that. You can fake the anointing. You can fake all kinds of things. It's very easy to manipulate people. If you understand, you know, you were talking about understanding. If you understand the way people's mind works, it's very easy to manipulate and control people. But you know what you cannot fake? You see,
This thing I'm describing here now, you know, he's talking about the word of life, whereby you are speaking words, and those words are transmitting eternal life to people. You can't fake it. So just in case you are wondering, you want to know a real man of God, do you get edified? Does your spirit get, because if you are born again, when you are hearing this word of life, it will be as if your spirit is being refreshed. Praise the Lord. Haven't you been in a situation whereby you are feeling depressed, and then you hear a word, it could even be a recording, and then life comes back to your spirit? That's how you vet the word of the people. That some people, they can do miracles, they know how to say good things, but they don't have that one. You can't fake it. They don't have the ability to transmit life. Ha. Yesterday, you know, we went for baptism yesterday. In the night, I was just thinking, and I was wondering within myself. I said, Jesus Christ, this young man that was baptized, I remember that there was a time, unfortunately he's not here today, there was a time that in that compound, when you are preaching to somebody, whenever the devil wants that person, and the person begins to hear the word of life, so that the person can receive eternal life and be saved, if this young man go and meet the person will turn away. That is how averse to the things of God he was. The transformation I have seen in his life for the past 2 weeks is just miraculous. And I realized, when I was just thanking God yesterday evening, and I realized that when people say that the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation, and I understood it again properly yesterday. Look at Brother Rosemary sitting down there. I still remember him when I came to that compound. This January this year. I still remember him. And then I'm looking at him now like, what transformation is that? You see a person, what transforms a sinner to a saint is the word of life. That transformation, that life will even transform your appetite. It will transform your demeanor. Some people, they walk with pride. In 2-3 days, because they accepted Jesus Christ, even the way they walk, that pride, that whatever clout they carry, which is a product of darkness, it vanishes. And then they become people, an entirely different person. The only thing that is capable of doing that is the word of life. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking about Raphael. Sorry, I'm calling his name. I know he won't mind. The day he gave his life to Jesus Christ, I collected a phone from him because he was chatting. Yahoo. Do you understand? Now, it doesn't mean that when a person is saved, they can't go back. The devil is always tempting you to come back. But you must understand that you have received life. In fact, the reason why this book, 1 John, was written, he said, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Don't think that what happened to you is ordinary. It is the life of God himself that has come into you. And that life is different. That life is the difference. It is as different as life is different from death. Hallelujah. So it's called the word of life. Now let's continue, because we have a lot to cover today. And seriously, I just need the help of God, because I want to do at least half of what I wrote down. The word of life. It says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. Have you ever met people that you and them, you can't discuss, because your reasoning is like this. It's like this. Your reasoning is like this.
You can't have fellowship with one another. Have you ever met people that you are trying to have a conversation with, but their understanding of life is almost opposite of your understanding of life? And because of that, you cannot have fellowship. You see, it is possible that even though we are all Christians, we cannot have fellowship with one another because our level of understanding is limited. Amen. It's limited. And so he's saying that he's trying to explain to them, because one of the things that can defeat a Christian the most, and I need your attention now, please. One of the things that can make a Christian to be defeated the most is if the Christian does not understand who he is and what he has. And so the reason why the book of 1 John was written, he said, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Because when you know you have eternal life, you will begin to act accordingly. Because many people don't know that what they have received is not religion, it is life. Tell your neighbor, life. You have the life of God. Now, let's go on. Let's go on, because there's somewhere we are going to. There's a point we want to make, because we are going to tie this with what we did last week. Because when you talk about holiness, you cannot talk about holiness outside the context of repentance. Because the more the Lord reveals to you something in your life that is wrong, what is expected of you is that you repent of it. And as you repent of it, he will now give you the power to walk above it. But if you refuse to repent of it, it will remain in your life. So let's continue. He says, and these things, okay, Holy Spirit wants us to dwell a bit on verse 3. So let's go back to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now, when I was giving the example of Raphael just not long ago, and I wish he was here. When I was giving the example of Raphael not long ago, some people hearing me may not understand what I'm saying. He's not born again now. No. You see, what made me to break out in thanksgiving to God yesterday evening was something I saw. Something I saw. Faith makes you to see the invisible. So this thing is talking about that which we saw and heard. It's not just something physical. What you see by faith is stronger than what your eyes are seeing, if you're a man of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Being born again gives you a certain ability. You know, it's a walk of faith. Alright, if you are feeling sleepy, just try and distract yourself, stand up. Like, bro, Toby is no longer feeling sleepy because he has been able to overcome that. Praise the Lord. Sorry, it's really, really distracting me. Now, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is, you know what sight is. I'm seeing you now. Faith is an alternative sight. Faith gives you vision. Faith gives you understanding. The Bible says by faith we understand that the worlds were created from the invisible. Faith gives you vision. And as you grow, I pray the Holy Spirit will give me utterance to explain this. Do you know that just by looking at a person's eyes, you can know if that person is demon possessed? And I can even prove it to you from scripture. Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, he said that the light of the body, how did he put it? Is the eye. And if your eye be single, then your body will be full of light. I don't want to begin to explain that thing that Jesus, that key that Jesus gave his disciples there. Praise the Lord. And then when you see a man that was full of demons, that was full of darkness. And you see, this one I just said now, this is not the main class. So it's just a diversion. You don't have to be born again for you to understand how to discern people through their eyes. And I'm not here to teach you psychology. But many policemen in Nigeria understand it. There are some people that they will see, like they will stop them just by looking at them. They know that this one, something is not correct. He's a thief. He has tramadol in his bag. He's a trading. Do you notice that the world, sometimes the world can even perceive believers more than believers, because believers, it is very easy for believers to be blind if they are not careful. Who is blind but my servant? Unbelievers know. See, let me tell you something. In my office, in our office, unbelievers know the Christians that are real and the Christians that are fake more than we Christians. When I came for your naming, I was embarrassed. Why was I embarrassed? I was embarrassed by some Christians, because the unbelievers are saying, no, this one is not a Christian. They say, ah, yeah, Pastor Abraham is a real Christian. I was like, what? How do they know these things? But they know. Brother Chibuzo, do you understand? I know you understand what I'm saying. So this thing, this life, what I'm just trying to explain to you is that this thing that Apostle John was talking about is not exclusive to him. Because when you were reading before, you probably thought that what Apostle John meant was that because they saw Jesus and they saw his miracles, that that's the life that they saw. Because remember that he was talking about life. I'm telling you that if you have feet and you have the eyes of feet and your eyes have been anointed with eye salve, you will be able to see this life. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again gives you the ability to see. Ha! May God help us in Jesus' name. He was telling people, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Do you remember I told disciples? He said, the kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And what I'm telling you is that if you are born again, one of the signs that your eyes, your spiritual eyes are not blind, because there are many believers. Go and read Revelation chapter 3. The church in Laodicea. He said, you say you are rich. I need nothing. Let's read that. Revelation chapter 3. Is it verse 12? Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the following. This is the solemn pronouncement of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. He said, but because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because, I'm in verse 17 now. Because you say, I am rich, and they were really rich, they had money, and have acquired great wealth, and need nothing, but do not realize that you are wretched. Now look at that. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Now, this was their spiritual state. Their physical state actually was that they had money, but their spiritual state was that they were poor and wretched. Now, this is in no way saying that believers that have money are poor and wretched. These particular believers had a problem. It was that they had become lukewarm. What makes a person lukewarm? When you become born again, you are hot. Bro, Yemi, were you there when I laid hand on somebody and I said you are cold, but God wants to make you hot? I'm trying to remember. I don't know if you were there. I laid hand on someone. As soon as I laid hand on the person, I was not feeling the person's temperature. I was feeling the person's spiritual temperature. The person was cold. An unbeliever is cold. When you become a believer, spiritually speaking, you become hot. When you become, you mingle too much with unbelievers and imbibe their philosophy, or you refuse to change your philosophy and worldview, you will become lukewarm. When you carry hot water and mix it with cold water, what will happen? You get lukewarm water. And Jesus Christ is telling lukewarm believers that I will spew you out of my mouth. And as if you are cold, we know what to do to you. If you are hot, that's beautiful. But this one that you are lukewarm, what do we do with you? Because you are a bad example of Jesus in your office. You are a bad example of Jesus in the market. You are a bad example of Jesus in your neighborhood. Those are the believers that speak in tongues at night and commit fornication in the day. Lukewarm. So we are talking about how that the life, when John said that which we have seen, there's a level of spiritual understanding that you'll be able to see the life of God. You'll be able to see it. Is because what he was referring to is the is life. Abi? Oh yeah, let's go back to 1 John. You people are looking at me as if you are lost in transit. So let's go back to 1 John. Don't be lost. Don't be lost. Come back. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you. What is that thing? He said, this is what we proclaim to you. What was from the beginning? And he's talking about the beginning of the beginning. You know, do you remember I said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, in him was life. Abi? And that life was the light of men. So you are saying that this thing he's describing is actually life. He says that which our eyes have seen, which our ears have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Last week, when I was praying for, I don't know, when we were ministering here, you know, it was supposed to be a miracle service, right? The anointing was here. Some of us hands handled that life. The anointing is tangible. Tangible. I could feel it. In fact, at some point, that time I was praying for you, sir, my hands were, that had never happened to me before. This hand was, I had no control of the way this hand was tremoring. I'm like, what's going on here? You can feel the anointing move. That's why people fall. So when he said that which we have handled, he's talking about a life. He's not just talking about something that is story. Once upon a time, Jesus raised the dead. And what I'm telling you, brethren, is that one of the things that God will do for you is that as he anoints your eyes with eye salve, you will have the ability to perceive the life of God. Somebody comes and a person says they are born again, I'll just be looking at you like this. Because I've not seen the life. The day I saw you, remember, I saw you, you have to tell me, I say, this guy is born again. The day I saw Osage, ask him. As soon as I saw him, that was my second day in the office. I said, ha, sir, are you a pastor? He was shocked because if you know Osage, he was wearing that his jeans, that his baggy jeans, and that his boots, and that his t-shirt. There was nothing about him and his cap. There was nothing about him that looked like a pastor. But there was something that I could see. It's called life. May that life radiate. Because, see, there are some Christians that life is not yet radiating out of them. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. The more you subscribe to God, you allow Jesus to rule your life. Even your life can, and unbelievers can recognize it. They don't know it as life, but they just know it as something that is different. And because of that, they won't like you. But when they have problem, when the chips are down, they know where to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm talking about, this life. And he said that you may, let's continue the reading. He said that, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, your fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Do you know why we have fellowship with one another? Because I have this life, eternal life, you have this eternal life. And why is our fellowship also with God? And with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has that life. And God has that life. There is a quality of life that we have as human beings that no matter how you like your dog, you cannot have you cannot have fellowship with your dog the way you have fellowship with a human being. The reason is because you and another human being have the same quality of life. You know, dogs like human beings a lot. And dogs are very loyal. In fact, they are more loyal than many human beings. But no matter, I like dogs. They are wonderful. No, I like dogs. I don't want to start telling you stories about dogs. But dogs are wonderful creatures. They can save you from a lot of harm. There was a time that somebody opened his door down and there were snakes in the neighborhood, and the snake, one of the snake wanted to enter. Is that the dog sat down by the door? and was barking to ensure that the snake does not enter the house. But you see, as nice as dogs are, you cannot have fellowship with a dog. You can own a dog, you can love a dog, can be taking care of the dog, but you cannot have fellowship with a dog. The reason is because the life you have, is not the life of a dog. But you can have fellowship with a human being. And the reason why we have fellowship with one another is because we now have the same life. It's the life of God. And because we have this life, we also have fellowship with God. If you have this life and you don't know what you have, it's difficult for you to have fellowship with God. God wants to be your friend. He said, he that obeys me, that obeys my word. He said, my father and I will come and make our abode in his house. We'll come and dwell with him. Have you seen that in your Bible? Or am I making it up? You've seen that in your Bible? These things are true. Why do you think some Christians move to a house without knowing? They didn't know that they have buried things in that house. But because they understand this life and fellowship, the demons that have been there for 15 years, because he moved the first night he sleeps in that house, because he's a man of life and fellowship, the demons will pack. They will leave. Who wants trouble? Elohim comes to that house regularly. Do they want it to be firewood? Do you understand what I'm saying? They will leave.